Okay, Sister Eubanks. Sister Eubanks, can you hear me? Sister Eubanks, you here today, and I hope that's okay. I hope that's okay. I want to welcome you to our fellowship today. And for those who are new, we are the Stoke Newington Church, and we worship and fellowship every Sabbath here. The divine service is at 11, and we have our Sabbath school at 10 a.m. So I just want to welcome those who are here today. And please pass on the messages to your friends and family to join us every Sabbath on this particular platform. So to begin, let us have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Our wonderful Father in heaven, we're grateful for your mercies that you have given us today. We are grateful for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, the opportunity that we have to worship you. Help us to not take that for granted, Lord. Help us to not take advantage of you and what you've done for us. Help us to remember that every little thing that we have and we do is because of your glory, is because of your mercy, and because of the blessings that you have blessed us with. We thank you for these Sabbath hours, Father God, where we can turn our minds towards you, where we can look to you for restoration. We can step back and sit down and just think about all that you do for us. To take the time to be remembered of how good you are and the many things that you can do. You can do from the smallest to the biggest. Help us to remember, Lord, that you are a forgiver of sins. So help us to not be ashamed to come to you, but to remember that you already know all things, so we may as well come to you. We thank you for this week of prayer, Father God, where all our minds will be focused on a topic each night, where we will have the opportunity to pray together and to discuss your word. I pray that you will be with the speaker today as he presents your word, Father God. May they be directly from you. We thank you again, and we lift your name on high. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Nikisha, you're muted.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Hi. The scripture reading today is taken from Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Here ended the readings of God's holy words.
Yes. Sister Pat and Brother Correa will be giving us a rendition today.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath to everyone. Hope today will be a blessed day. The song we're about to sing, it's about the sacrifice that the Father made for us. And I hope you find some blessings within it. My lovely wife and I are going to try and see if we can do it justice.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You said you were going to try. No, you did it. You did it. So you will be getting the paperwork for the record deal approximately this week in the post. So look out for that. The duet, the couriers.
Amen.
Wonderful, beautiful. How deep the Father's love for us. Our speaker for today is Elder Kelly, and he will be bringing us the first reading for the week of prayer. Thy word is a lamp to my feet.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Good morning.
Let us have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you. We come before you with nothing, trembling and weak, but we ask the Lord to strengthen us and to let your word take control of us as we present your word to your people. And may the blessing be for them and for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, I must just put a little explanation. Today, my Wilma will read for me and we will discuss.
Good morning, everyone. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Today's reading has been written by the president of the General Conference, Ted Wilson. It was a pivotal time in my life. After graduating from Tacoma Academy in Maryland, United States, I decided to continue my studies at La Sierra College, now University in California, more than 2,600 miles away. After I embarked on this new and important phase of my life, my father sent me a postcard in a letter with the following quotation penned in his own handwriting. It said, "Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, as wholly thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me and let all my work be wrought in thee. This is a daily matter. Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to him, to be carried out or given up as his providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. Not only did I appreciate the time and care my father showed in sharing this with me, but it also meant so much to receive such powerful spiritual instruction from the spirit of prophecy. This has endeared the writings of Ellen White to me from that time on.
Okay, yes. And as we go forward, we want to look at the opening text. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." From the easy read version, it says, "Your word is like a lamp that guided my steps, that a light that showed the path I should take." And Ted Wilson's father did, he prepared it. He didn't actually go over after 2005. He sent him a letter, something that he can actually hold on to. But you know what happened? He didn't just send him a letter printed from some computer or from some tablet. He wrote it in his own handwriting. God has sent each of us a letter. God is saying, "My word is a lamp unto your path." And as we study the word of God, as we immerse ourselves into the word of God, as the writing says from what Ted Wilson said, immerse yourself. Get up every day and make God's word the first and the most important thing for you. And in that way, you'll be able to share. You'll be able to live. You'll be able to stand up to the consequences of the demon, as I heard a speaker say last night. The demon is not some source out there. It's just falling angels. When those falling angels are sent to tempt you, you'll be able to say, "Thy word." You'll be able to go back to God's word. You'll be able to say what Jesus said. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God." As we get into this week of prayer, let us not just do it as a normal, it's a week of prayer, we're just going to go through the motion. Let's make it a true part of studying, understanding, and accepting God's word. Because when we do this, we will really, really get the meaning and the gist of what the week of prayer is saying to us and what we need to do. It is like, you know, you go through the week and you come to Wednesday night, you go to prayer meeting, you get a little boots. This is what this week of prayer is about. Bootsing our spiritual strength across the years, across this year. And this year is really a difficult one that we really need it boosted. So let us remember that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet. And as it says in the easy read version, I like this one because it says, "Your word is like a lamp that guided my steps." Yes, because you know, literally we can't have a lamp on our feet. But thy word is like a lamp that guides my steps. When I want to do something, is God's word in line with this? When I want to say something, when somebody rubbed me the wrong, when I'm about to say something, I should stop to check, is God's word in line with this? Sometimes I don't, but that is what I should do. That is what God expects of me. What God expects of me. I should stop and check. And then it's a light that shows the path. So after I've done all of that, what comes next? I still need to forgive that person. I still need to walk away with a clear heart, not holding up anything in me about what that person said or did to me. So it says, a light that shows the path I should take. The word of God is powerful enough. And there's a text that says the word of God is like a two-edged sword. Yes? And we have to remember, a sword is sharp on both sides. If you swing it left, it's going to cut something. If you swing it right, it's going to cut something. But when we have the word of God in us like a two-edged sword, it will cut out those little inhibitions and those little niggish ways and bad ways that we have in our system, and help us to come up to that standard where we can represent God even in the difficult time, as Wilma continue to read.
The power of God's word. As we consecrate ourselves to God and surrender our plans to him each day, how important it is to take time to listen to him speak through the Bible. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119:105.
And that is our opening text. And I want us to stay with that a little bit longer, because what you notice what the reading just says, as we take time to listen. So I can be talking, and I'm not listening to what Cheryl is saying, but Cheryl is trying to say something that is worthwhile to my conversation that would help me to really put things in focus. But I'm not listening because I'm just talking constantly. Sometimes we need to back up and just let the word, after we read the word, lay down for a few minutes, sit down for a few minutes, stand up where you are for a few minutes, and let the Holy Spirit talk to you now. Interpret what God is saying for you to understand in your human frailty, in our human frailty, we have to come to that point where we realize that we don't just talk. God wants us to have a relationship. He wants to communicate. He doesn't want to be dictated to. So we go, Lord, we are dictating. And after we finish, we're gone. God is saying, no, let's have a conversation. So I said, Elder Baz, so-and-so-and-so. And Elder Baz stopped, and he said, no, Howard, I think so-and-so-and-so, you know, in the experience I've had, so-and-so-and-so. We are communicating, but if I just say, Elder Baz, all right, good, see you. Where's the communication in that? I don't hear what he has to say. I have not listened for what he has to say. And maybe what he has to say would bring me right in line on the right path. But because I wasn't listening, just like the Word of God, the Holy Spirit brings, when we study the Word of God and when we read and pray to God, we need to listen. We need to listen for that. And at the moment we're at now, I'm going to ask somebody to just pray that God will give all of us on this platform. And I'm not selecting anybody. I'm just asking somebody who's impressed to pray that God will give all of us on this platform that ability to tune into him via prayer and listen to him. Then we'll continue.
Our God and our Father, we come before you today and we ask you to open our ears. We ask you to help us to not just talk, but to listen as well. Help us to realize that you want to communicate with us. You want to have a conversation with us. You want us to listen to you. And we know you want to hear us. But quite often, Lord, we tend to talk more than we listen. So give us that desire to listen to you, to hear your voice, to tune into you so that we'll hear what we each need from you. As we go through the rest of this reading, Lord, we ask to uplift our thoughts and keep us focused on you so that we'll hear your still small voice as you speak to us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
All right, Wilma, continue reading for us.
It's Christ's living word, timeless truth that transcends all human cultures and points us to the culture of heaven. When confronted by Satan, Jesus boldly stated, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So for foundational truth, when praying for his disciples and for all of us, Christ indicated the power of the word when he stated, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." That's taken from John 17:17.
Right. And I want to just come back to where it is. We eat and we are hungry in another 4 hours. Let's put it that for the reasonable people, we are hungry in another 4 hours. For some of us, we are hungry quicker than that. Mm-hmm. But we eat and we are hungry in another 4 hours. But this is the word of God. And he's saying that man shall not live by bread alone. You know, we should not look at earthly gains only. What can I do? How will I be? Who will like me? Who will not like me? That's earthly. Will I be able to have a job next week? Forget that. Work and to say, Lord, you said that if I seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, all things shall be added. I am not going to worry about next week. I'm not worrying about 2 hours from now. I'm not worrying about whether I will have a job or I will have a clothes or when I'm finished study, I will have any work, any job. You know, some people have finished their degree now and because of all of what's going on, they have no job. But shouldn't they get along with their life? They should. Maybe this is a time for them to spend time developing God's word. And when the job opens up, they'll be able to manage whatever comes with that job. You don't know what is coming. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And this, if I was thinking this morning and yesterday while I was looking through all of this, and I thought, there's one name I've heard all my life, and I've never heard anybody else named so often. And that's Jesus. Everywhere I turn, from I'm a child, I'm hearing that name. That name must have some significance. It must have some value. Why it is been spread around so often, isn't it? That name has power. That name has resources. Well, you know what happened? If you say to me, I would like to borrow your book, but you don't come to collect the book that you want to borrow, you're going to get it. You're borrowing it from me. You phone me at home and say, oh, would I like to borrow a book? And I said, okay, yeah, come and have it. If you don't come for it, the book is still there, still available to you. But what has happened? 3 weeks later, you haven't gotten the book. because you did not come for it. God is saying, seek ye first the kingdom. But he also says, my word. If you don't study my word, how are you going to understand what I'm about? If you don't study my word, how are you going to know where I'm leading you? If you don't study my word, how are you going to be fortified to stand up against a man who has 6,000 years of experience on top of what you have? So if you are 40, he has 6,040 years of experience. If you're 100, he has 6,100 years of experience. You cannot have more experience than the leader of the demons. But what happened? He came out of heaven and God says, I will send my son. I will give you the Holy Spirit. They have more years than him with God. They have more years experience than the Holy Spirit is omniscient, omnipowerful, just like God. So there's no way the demon can beat him. But the way for us to overcome is for us to tune into the protector. Tune into that word, which thy word is like a lamp unto my feet that guided my steps. We have to go to God's word. We have to live God's word. We have to make God's word become real. You know, a lot of people can quote the Bible from back to front. You know that? There's a lot of people. There's a guy I know named Solomon. Every year he reads the Bible straight through. Every year for about 5 years. And I believe he knows, he can read and tell you where what is what. But what is our connection? I can know something, but I have no connection to it. I can know something, but it doesn't impact on me at all because I don't really care what it says. So as we go on, let us realize that we shall not only live by what we can see and what we can feel. We have to have faith. We have to exercise faith in the word of God. And as it goes over to the next text was sanctify them through thy truth. The only way to get truth, and there's only one truth, and that's the word of God. Everything else is subjected to my thinking, my opinion, or how I feel about it. So you can say this is truth, but it's true to you, it's not true to me. But the word of God is truth to everybody. There's no way you can go around it. Any of us here on this platform now can show me a part in the Bible that is not true, then I'm open for your criticisms. But other than that, if you can't prove to me that something in the Bible has gone wrong since the time it has been written, then you need to look at what I'm saying to you, that the only truth is the word of God. The only truth comes through Jesus Christ. The only truth is within the Holy Spirit. Wilma will continue to read for us, please.
Ellen White explains, the Bible was not written for the scholar alone. On the contrary, it was designed for the common people. The great truth necessary for salvation are made as clear as noonday, and none will mistake and lose their way except those who follow their own judgment instead of the plainly revealed will of God. She then warns, we should not take the testimony of any man as to what the scripture teaches, but should study the words of God for ourselves.
Yes, and now as we go, we are just above where it says it's our own its own interpretation. We just read the bit just above that, just for those who might want to follow. And what Ellen White is saying, no matter who writes any book, only great authors, and we have some excellent authors, some excellent poets, excellent, but their word cannot supersede the word of God, not even hers. The word of God is where we need to find our stable foundation. The word of God is where we need to anchor. Ellen White might write and explain, and it gives us an idea of what it's saying, but she herself says the word of God has superseded hers. She's just trying to explain and giving explanation under guidance that this is what this would mean in our time. And if we look at where we come to live, we have to look at the word of God and do the interpretation according to the Bible, not according to ourselves. Okay. Wilma will continue, please.
Its own interpreter. This method is supported by the biblical, historical, or the biblical grammatical approach to reading the word of God as described in the methods of Bible study documented voted by the world church. This carefully reviewed the method of Bible study allows the Bible to be its own interpreter, not the individual or the culture, as critical methods of Bible study encourage readers to do.
All right. So you see, we can't say, well, I'm Jamaican, so I interpret it according to how we live. You can't say you're English, so you interpret it according to how you live. You can't say you're Hispanic or wherever you come from, so you're interpreting according to it. Your lifestyle, the Bible comes first. Your culture, the Bible comes first. Your thought processing, the Word of God comes first. Anything else comes after the Word of God. If you're going to say, well, because I come from a culture where we dance 24/7, then I can get into the house of the Lord and dance. It depends a lot on what you mean. But it's not, the Bible didn't say you can't, but it did not say you should carry your cultural dance in there with some, I mean, Jamaican reggae music and some things like that. That would not be sitting good with the Word of God, because it says we must sanctify ourselves with the truth. We must live according to the Word. So again, we can't interpret the Bible to suit what we want. You know, sometimes the Bible says something and we don't agree with it at this moment because it goes against what I am doing or what I believe or what I want to do. But when it goes, we use the Bible and we say, oh yeah, the Bible says this because it goes with what I am going to do. It has nothing to do with that. Is it the Word of God? Yes. Is this the way it's supposed to go? Yes. How do I feel about I want to do that? But it's still wrong because the Word of God says this. And we have to come to that point where we realize that I can't, the Word of God cannot be used to fit up my life. I have to fit my life in the Word of God. So it means I have to come to know Christ, allow Christ to live in me so that I can go forward according to the Word of God. Not the Word of God following me, but I'm following the Word of God.
Believe in God's word. Clearly, many people believe it's important to have a Bible, but how many believe it's important to read it, meditate upon it, and follow its counsel? The Jews in Berea definitely thought so. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Acts 17, verse 11. And so can we. Daily Bible reading, coupled with prayer, is the foundation of our spiritual experience. If we are not connecting with heaven, it's impossible for us to grow spiritually. See 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But what a privilege is ours to reach out to God every day, knowing that he longs to commune with us. I try to start each day by dropping to my knees as I get out of bed. I place myself in God's hand, ask him for wisdom and the Holy Spirit in my life. The Lord is never failing in his provisions for us. I try to read from the Bible in a systematic manner, following the Believe His Prophets reading plan, and from other sections of the Bible, followed by the Spirit of Prophecy. I have also found it helpful to study the Adult Sabbath School Bible Study Guide and other forms of study resources that strengthen one walk with the Lord.
Amen. So now that we have looked at thy word is a lamp unto my feet, I'm just saying to everyone, we're coming to where we need to make a decision. Are we going to make the word of God a lamp unto our feet? Are we going to make the word of God a lamp that guides our step? Are we going to make the word of God a lamp that lights our path and shows us the way to take? These are the questions that we have to ask ourselves, that we have to make up our minds to do. And as we ask ourselves and make up our mind on these things, I just want us to realize that the way to do this is we first go to God. Let him know our intention of wanting to read Bible. You find some parts of the Bible very hard to read, you know. The Begats and those ones, they gave me, for a while, they gave me a warm time. This one begot that one, that one begot that one. For a while, it looked like it never meant anything. And I'm wondering, why do I need to know that these people were related to the others? But when you read the rest of the Bible, you realize that when you know this, and you look at a story in Matthew, you know that this woman who was caught in adultery is also connected in Matthew. So now you can see the relationship. But before you do this, all these begats, it was difficult. And a lot of us find the Bible difficult to read. But you know the way to do it? Ask God to give you a little inspiration. Sometimes he doesn't give you a whole chapter to read, you know, two verses, two texts. And that's where he wants you to start, because you couldn't manage the whole chapter of Matthew 5. You have to take two bits out of it. And then tomorrow he shows you two from Luke, and then he brings you back the next day to Matthew 5 and two at the bottom again. So we need to just find out from the Holy Spirit and from God and with ourselves. We know ourselves how we like to read. I'm not a great reader. I don't like long reading. That's why my lovely wife is reading for me today. I don't like long reading. But I find when I'm reading the Bible by myself in like a quiet moment, I get into it more. Because when I make my mistake in calling the word, I don't feel embarrassed. But if I make my mistake now in calling the word with all of you sitting there, oh no, man, I for the rest of the day, I feel like I'm sinking. So, you know, I'm a private reader, put it that way. But I am just saying to you, when you read the word of God, whether you do it privately or publicly or together with a group or individually, you can get that. You ever read a text and the way you saw it before, but when you read it again, you see another way from it. And you read that same text again and you see another way the next time. The Holy Spirit is saying, today when you read, my little children, I write unto you, sin not. This is what it meant. Tomorrow when you read the same thing, he said, listen, Howard, you need to shape up. The next day he read it, he said, listen, Howard, you see a friend over there, you know I'm not doing right in a manner, you're a responsibility. You get those kind of things where he brings out what he wants you to do with that same one text. And remember, I didn't change the text. It's the same text, but he brings different impression on your conscience or your heart or your mind on that day. How that text help you and what you're to do with it. And so this is what I've learned from reading the word of God, that when you read, don't think you read and know it. And you go to Matthew 5, the Beatitude, and you think you know it. And next tomorrow you read it and you have a next message in it for you to deliver or for you to take or for you to give to somebody else. So let us remember as we read and as we come to a close that the word of God is a lamp that guides our steps. And I'll go back to the old version. For the King James Version said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Easy Read Version only expand it a little bit to say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, as a lamp that guides my step. Show me where to put my foot. Show me where to put my spiritual mind and my spiritual foot so that I'm walking according to the word of God. Then it says, and a light that shows me the path. This is the way you must go. And this, if you go down this way, God is going to be there. Does it say it won't be any trouble, won't be there? No, it didn't say that. Did it say it won't be difficult? No, it didn't say that. But it said, this is the way God wants you to walk. So walk in it. We'll do the last bit of reading and then we'll have a session of prayer. And then I'll turn over to Nicole after that.
In the midst of a life of active labor, Enoch steadfastly maintained his communion with God. The greater and more pressing his labors, the more constant and earnest were his prayers. He would withdraw to spend a season in solitude, hungering and thirsting for that divine knowledge that God alone can impart. Communing thus with God, Enoch came more and more to reflect the divine image. We too are to walk with God. When we do this, our faces will be lighted up by the brightness of his presence. We shall speak of his power, saying, praise God, good is the Lord, and good is the word of the Lord. And those who will be translated at the close of time will be those who commune with God on earth. What an amazing privilege we have to commune with God every day through the way he has given. And what a joy to know that one day soon he will come to take us home.
Amen. I like this last bit, and I would like us to all go away with Enoch's lifestyle. He commune with God, and the more pressure gets higher, the more he communicates with God. The more difficult it becomes, is the more he draws closer to God. You see what the reading is saying? Enoch walked with God. Enoch did not say, well, it's too tough to this, I can't stop to pray, I've run out to work. He find that time to pray. If he had even had to get up a little bit earlier, he get up and do his prayer. He get up and he talks to God. And as he goes through his daily chore and it gets tight, Lord, you know, this is very difficult. Amen. You know, I'm just looking at we today. This is what we need to do, have that relationship with that God, that when something hit us, that is hard, we don't go to, what should I do? Well, let me think and let me see if I can, who I can call. God, this is it. I'm not great with this. This today don't feel right. I am not happy with how today is going. And then God will intervene with that. And then while you say that, and he doesn't do anything yet, you still continue your work, still continue to hold on, live accordingly, and move forward. Because God is going to do something. He will not do it when you think he should, maybe. And sometimes he does it long before you even think he should. Because while you're praying, somebody already sorting out that problem. But you know what happened? It's only when you pray, you see, you move the screen, and you say, oh, wait. You know, that's sorted by going there, by that person doing that. It's all right now. I can move on. We have to do that. And we have to remember that our hope is in him coming back to receive us. And that some of us will be translated. We don't know which one of us. But so we need to live accordingly daily. Because guess what? We don't know when that time is coming. But God is going to step in the gap for us. And when he does end this world, we want to be with him. We don't want to be on the other side. I'll tell you, I've never been on the other side. But I don't think the experience is going to be nice. I don't think the experience is going to be lovely. So we want to be on the side of Christ all the time, despite what happened. There's a song that says, if heaven wasn't promised to me, I'd still want to be on the side of God. I can't sing, so I'm just taking a bit out of the people and song. But you know, that's what our aim should be, to be on the side of Christ, despite we're not going to ever, don't worry about the outcome. Worry about, I am with Christ. It's a better side. It's a better side. And I just want to say to us now, we're going to have a season of prayer. And I would like to ask us to pray for those who are sick. And I would like one person to dedicate a prayer around help those who are sick. Not only just the ones who are still sick, but those who are recovering, those who have gone through it and still, you know, the effects are still lingering. And I want somebody to dedicate a prayer for our young people. Our young people are struggling at this point. I don't know how much you talk to our young people, but our young people are struggling. And they need our input. Then the families, we need to remember that we can't have a relationship without our families. What we talk about is our church family. We all have to be in it together. Despite what we think, all of us are in it together. And then we're going to answer. We pray for leadership of the country and of the church. And then we pray that all of us will come to read God's word and to accept God's word so we can grow in Christ. That's what we're praying for. Where's Ellen Nicole? Oh, yes, she's there. Ellen Nicole, after this, I turn over to you.
Did you have someone to pray? You are muted.
I was saying that we just we select those five areas and people just pray for those.
Oh, we pray individually. Pardon me. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we pray. And then I do the closing prayer.
Wonderful.
Those are the areas that we'll select.
Wonderful. When you are ready, then just say amen.
Yes. 5 years. One is our youth. I'd like someone to pray for them audibly. The next one is our government and our leadership, our church leadership and our government. I'd like someone to do that audibly. The next one is the sick and affirm and difficult, those who are going through that kind of mental or emotional or physical sick illness or spiritual illness. I'd want someone to do that audibly. And then the last one, that's the last one, I can't remember.
Young people
are struggling very, very much, and I want someone to audibly pray for them. And at the end of that, I will do a closing prayer. And then you're in charge again. Thank you.
And to give you praise and to give you thanks again for being with us, for watching over us, dear Father. I want to pray on behalf of the church and the pastoral team, and in terms of how we could continue to walk with you there, Father, as we asked to do. We've learned the lesson from Enoch, who walked with God. But what does it really mean to walk with God? What does it really mean in terms of in today's situation? How can we walk with God? How can we get closer to him? How can we get that feeling of his spirit within us? So many things are happening with us. So many things are, we've been pushed aside left, right, and center. Your freedom has been taken away with you. How can we walk with God in this troubled time? And so, Lord, I pray that you come within us, our hearts, that we may know that you're with us and will always be with us at all times. We ask, Lord, that you help us to understand your words day by day as we read them, and help us to interpret it in our lives, dear Father, that it can reflect on others. We pray for families, we pray for those who have been having so many difficult times in bereavement and so many things that's happened, Lord. And so, Father, hear our prayer today as we, at times, may want to question certain things, Lord. But we pray that you'll also forgive us, Lord. But we just want to get this close relationship with you, dear Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to dig a little deeper into your words, that we may get closer to you. And so where we have strayed from thy presence, Lord, we ask of your forgiveness. Where we have not made that connection, Lord, we ask of your forgiveness. But help us also to see the true picture as we continue to walk with you. Lord, we ask that you bless us and that you keep us. Hear our prayer, Father, this morning. Forgive us of our shortcomings. This, Lord, we ask in Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen.
God and Father in heaven, we come to you this afternoon giving you praise, honor, and adoration for your goodness to us. You have woken us up on this day, your holy day. We thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. May all the glory and honor be to your name. This afternoon, I want to pray for the young people, Father. They are struggling. If some of us adults who live alone struggle, we can just imagine what the young people are going through, because they are not used to staying in the house. They are used to being out there with their fellow young people. But Lord, we know that it does not matter what happens. You know their hearts. You know their minds. And you control everything in their body. Father, may you strengthen them. May you strengthen their faith, because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. May you strengthen their stamina, their patience, and their understanding, so that they may understand that no matter what difficulties we are going through at the moment with this time, it will come to pass. And not all will go back to normal as such, but it will come to pass. It is not going to be forever. So if they can just endure with you a little bit longer, all will be well. Lord, we really pray for them, because we know what they are going through. We also pray for those who are struggling, leave alone our own young people, not only our young people. Young people around the world are struggling. That's why they are coming up with all sorts of trouble. Lord, may you be with them. May you keep them safe. On this week of prayer, Lord, may we search ourselves. Help us to search ourselves so that we may see where we stand with you. Where are we? Where do we stand? How do we stand with your salvation? Lord, help us on this week of prayer, that we can all be together, that all our prayers may be reach you, so that the blessings can come down. This is our prayer this afternoon. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Father God, we petition your throne of grace on behalf of those who are unwell. Father, we don't know if
the illness is physical, spiritual, or psychological, mental. But Lord, we know that it is not in your will that any of us should not be whole. We thank you that you have given us promises on which to hold. And Father God, I present all of us, so whatever our illness is, Lord, we pray that you will take control. We thank you that healing is in your hand and in your word. And if our bodies are not healed here, Lord, we pray, Father God, that we will have a home in your kingdom. We pray that we will be comforters to those who are suffering. We pray that our words will help speak life and hope into all situations. We pray that our hands will grant comfort where we can, and that we will just support in prayer where we can't reach out. I want to thank you, Lord, for the miracle of healing that you have already given to so many. And as we hear your testimonies, Lord, we know that your words are true. So we thank you for the faith to hold on, Father God. And we pray that you will just remember us as we wander away from you, that you will help us to return home. You are the good shepherd and you come looking for your lost sheep. And we're thankful for that, Father. So as you draw us close to you, we pray for all of those on this platform at this time and the families that they represent, that you would draw them close to. This is my prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Merciful Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for your blessing. We want to thank you for the sunshine. And in the mix of that, we have a little coolness. So we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you, Lord, that you are not asleep. You are not waiting till we're down in the ditch before you put your hand. A lot of time when we feel that we are down in the ditch, you are still holding us in the palm of your hand. You are just allowing us to experience our choices and to realize that that is not the best way. So Lord, today we come to the beginning of a week of prayer, but it should be consistent. Even when this formal week of prayer is over, we should make this a consistent thing where we pray daily, minutely, secondly, hourly. So Lord, I present all of us on this platform before you. And I say, Lord, we have all fallen short. We have all dropped somewhere along the line where we should have stood up. And so we ask you, Lord, to just pick us up back, brush us off, put our foot on solid ground, and allow your word to be a lamp that guides our step. Allow your word to be a lamp that shows us the path. But Lord, when we are guided to our steps are guided that way and we have seen the path, help us to hold steadfast and continue and walk on that path. Help us not to say it's too narrow. It is too difficult. It is too hard. Lord, I pray for the leadership of Stoke Newington Church and any other church members who are on this that are listening to us. I pray for their leadership as well. But I pray especially for the leadership of our church, and I ask you, Lord, to bring them together, to bring them in oneness, to allow us to come together as leaders, heads of department, assistant, people who help to support from the background. We're all leaders in one way or the other. But those who are nominated and selected leaders, Lord, I present them before you. And I ask, Lord, that you'll strengthen, that you'll cleanse, that you'll uplift, that you'll allow unity and togetherness to continue as we are trying our best to walk according to your will. Lord, I pray for those who are sick. I pray for the young people who are struggling, those who are back in uni even with all of what's going on, those who have no job right now that they can say they put their hands on, those who are in between jobs, those who, because of the pandemic, their job sections are shut down so they have nothing to do or nowhere to go. But Lord, help them to turn to you. Help them not to get idle, but help them to turn to reading your word, reading a book that inspire them to look, read your word and to draw closer to you. Lord, help the parents to be encouraging. Help some of us as adults as well, Lord, to understand what we say and how we say to our young people so that they will draw closer and not be pushed away. Lord, I pray for the provision for everyone on this side. We know, Lord, that all of those in my hearing, you are providing for and you can provide for. But help us, Lord, to not make it what we want, but make it what you want. And Lord, bless every one of us now as we close this session, but do not leave us alone. Go with us, Lord, in our movement from now on, and help us to always be conscious and be mindful, and help us to do like Enoch, in the difficult moments, still walk with you. In the time when we don't understand what's going on, still hold on to you. In the time when we did make that mistake and drop us into our own troubles, still hold on to you, so that, Lord, you can lead us. And when the time shall be no more, whether we be translated or we be resurrected, we will be resurrecting or translated on your side and be able to say, hail you as our personal savior and from sin, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Over to you, Nicole. Thanks.
Thank you so much. The first of our week of prayer, beautifully presented, about engaging in studying and meditating on the word of God, using it for guidance in our life. And tomorrow we will be continuing with looking at kingdom values. how after meditating on those words, we see them start to manifest in our lives, and we can emulate kingdom values and Christian living. Our closing hymn for today is number 286, Wonderful Words of Life. Are you okay, Donna?
Yes. Hold on.
Donna?
Continue. Just continue. I don't know what's going on here.
One minute, please. Elder Howard, could you give us the benediction, please?
Mighty Father, thank you again for your blessings. As we part now to have that quiet moment or to have something to eat or just to chat amongst each other, to greet each other. We pray that you'll be with us, and your blessings and your Holy Spirit will continue to guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.